Lord, we just worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence. Lord, I thank you that tonight, as the saints gather here and we worship you, that, Lord, there's just a release of your power throughout this canyon. Throughout all these hills, Lord God, in all this area. That people would have a hunger for you, Lord. To know you. They'd have a hunger, Lord God, to know you. And that there would be just a great release of your power, Lord, in this area. To break off the strongholds and to break off the darkness that holds people bound. Where they don't have dull ears, Lord, but their ears would hear your voice. Their eyes wouldn't be blind, but Lord, they'd see you. They'd see your beauty. They'd hear your gracious voice speaking to them. And that they'd have hearts, Lord God, that could be molded. Minds that could learn. That the eyes of the understanding would be enlightened and they'd know the hope of the calling, Lord. They'd know you, Jesus. That you'd be high and lifted up and exalted throughout this land. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. And every tongue would confess, Jesus, you are Lord. The Lord, there'd be great laborers sent out into the harvest. And that, Lord, you might use us. That you might use us. That, Lord, we'd walk in the strength and the power of your might. We'd walk in the strength and the power of your might. Lord, we praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on now. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. We can't walk in our strength. We can't walk in our abilities. We've got to have the anointing. We've got to have the power of his might working with us and flowing in us and moving in us and speaking to us. We've got to have the power of his might. We're not going to make it if you're going to try it in your own strength. You're not going to make it if you're going to try to endure in your own power, your own wisdom. We've got to have the power of his might. Now, it's an interesting verse there in Ephesians 6 and 10 because he says, be strong in the Lord and the power. And that word power means an unbelievably strong force. Okay, no wimpy Christianity, no barely can make it Christianity, but in the power, this unbelievably strong force, okay? Of his might. And his might means his ability, his force, his strength, or his might. Right? It's not yours. The power of his might. That's what's available to each and every one of us. Come on now, the power of his might. It's available to each and every one of us. Right? Yes. Now, the good news is I want to show you a scripture tonight. So get your Bibles out and go over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. And I want to show you something here. Verse 23. It says, "This says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. And in these I delight, says the Lord." Do you realize that every time you seek the Lord to know him and the strength and the power of his might, that is his great delight? You think about this. You want to make God happy? You want to make Jesus happy? Seek him, and it brings delight to him. He never gets tired or weary of your prayers. He never gets tired and weary even of your complaining, as long as you're seeking him in the middle of it. He says here, look, you can. There's so many things to glory in. You know, the rich man's glory in his riches, and the wise man glory in his wisdom, and the mighty man's glory in his might. But he said, there's only one thing that makes anybody special, and that's people that seek me. Isn't that wild? So that's all I'm looking for, somebody to seek me. Somebody to seek me. You stop and think about that every time. You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, I just hate to bother the Lord, you know. It seems like I pray about this all the time." It's his delight. Isn't it amazing that, now look at this. You know, I read an article the other day that there's 9 men in the world that their combined wealth is equal to that of all the other people's wealth in the whole world. 9 men. Their wealth equals all the other wealth left over in the world. Now think about that. You would say they're pretty powerful. You say, "Oh, those are powerful men." But according to this scripture right here, the lowliest widow giving her last mite who knows the Lord has got more power and might than they do. Isn't that wild? I like that. Because then I get to go ahead and live my life and not worry about being in competition with anything, because I already know I won. I'm doing what's the top of the list. I want to know him, amen? That's why Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, now I want to show you something else. Go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Verse 10. Proverbs 2:10. It said, when wisdom enters your heart. Did you notice it doesn't enter your head? When wisdom enters your heart. Not saying don't be smart. I'm not saying don't learn. I'm just saying, but wisdom. What wisdom? The wisdom of God. You see, when you're seeking the Lord and you gain knowledge of it, we call that you had a revelation. Right? Isn't that true? I mean, that's all a revelation is.
something that's known about God, you understand it. It gets revealed to you. It's not like you're the only one that ever saw it, but it gets revealed to you. It's a revelation to you. You think differently than you used to think, right? So if I could say it this way, when a revelation enters your heart, right, it does something to you. It says, and then knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. You know what's funny about the word discretion? Like, to me, the word discretion, and you know, the more I learn in life, the more I know that I don't know nothing. Because there's words, there's English words that I really think that they mean something. And then I look up the definition and it doesn't mean that. Right? And so discretion has always been to me is you know something, but you just don't tell it. I mean, you know something bad about somebody or something that, you know, and you just don't tell it. You had discretion, right? That's the only way I've ever used the word discretion. Well, I started looking up the word discretion because how's discretion? I mean, oh, well, discretion is going to preserve you because you don't get involved in it and you're smart as it out. Well, I mean, I guess you could look at it like that. But if you look up the word there in the Hebrew, what it means, you know what it means? A purposeful plan. A purposeful plan. P-L-A-N, plan. In other words, it's saying, when wisdom, a revelation comes to you, it begins to change you. And it becomes pleasant to your soul. Then you start to get a purposeful plan. And as you pursue that plan that has a purpose to it, it starts to preserve you in life. Now, doesn't that make sense? Just think about it. When you didn't know Jesus, you just went and did whatever. And all of a sudden you knew Jesus and you started doing what you felt, you know, doing what the Lord was leading you to do, and you started walking in this plan. Well, I mean, I guess in a sense that is discretion, right? Because now you're not doing this, and so you took discretion. I don't want to go over there, but it's the plan that got you on the path. It's changing your vision to where you don't look at things like you used to look at things, and all of a sudden, boom, you look at this differently and say, oh, no, this is the right way to go. This is the plan to go. This is the way you do it. And that right out there started bringing you success, and it started preserving you, pickling you. Right? Preserving you. See, the anointing of God coming on your life, it'll change you. You don't even know you're being pickled and you're being pickled. Pickled by the Holy Ghost. Right? And then all of a sudden it just starts to, you know, the presence of God starts to change you and starts to renew you because you're walking down this plan. And you are using discretion, but you're walking in this plan with a purpose now, and you don't even realize it. See what happens to so many times as Christians? We forget what is really literally taking place in the world. What's taking place right here tonight? You got pickled tonight. Or, you know, I shouldn't even venture down this path because, you know, in pickling I probably don't know enough about. But, you know, isn't there something, now maybe I just need to cut the tape off right now and don't go any farther, but isn't there something that I remember my mother doing? Like, if you had pickled something and you did the right thing, like let's say you're making dill pickles, and you had put the right, what do you put in dill? What do you put in pickles to pickle them? Vinegar, right? But isn't there something that after a certain period of time you can go back and add a little more, and you kind of like beefs up the process? Or once you pickle it, you leave it and you don't ever touch it. You don't ever change it. The longer it sits, the stronger it gets. So vinegar never loses its punch. Maybe if she was putting more dill in there or something. I hate dill. In case you want to know.
I'll eat a bread and butter pickle, but a dill pickle that's got a lot of strong dill. When you go to Russia, they just put dill in everything. They put dill in everything like you put cilantro and stuff. Oh, my gosh. They throw that dill around everywhere. It's just like, oh, my God, that and sour cream is two things I hate in life. I won't even eat a baked potato if it has sour cream on it. Somebody put sour cream on it, I ain't even touch that thing, man. I don't like it. But you can just imagine eating a baked potato with sour cream full of dill. I'm losing it here, okay? So let me get back on track here. The purpose that you have, the purposeful plan has, it as you're walking in it, it pickles you. And God's doing things all the time. Every time you seek Him, He's doing something in our life. And I think that we just miss it because we're looking for the burning bush. We're looking for this something, but not realizing that what it says right here, man, it's preserving you. And then the understanding of what's going on, it keeps you. I'm telling you, folks, we're set for a great revival. I'm telling you, we're set for God to do great things with y'all. We're set for glory, hallelujah. Sit back, jaw opening, looking and saying, I can't believe that's happening. And why? Because y'all have been getting pickled for a long time, being preserved for a long time. It's time to break out some jars. Start serving it up. Amen? When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, this purposeful plan will preserve you and understanding will keep you. And what are we going to do? Just keep seeking Him. Amen? I can't tell you all the answers to life, but one thing I can tell you is just keep seeking Him. And if you just keep seeking Him, you know what? It's going to work out. It cannot not work out. And as you continue to apply revelation to your life, everything's just going to work in sync. Glory's going to come, and glory's going to come, and glory's going to come. Amen? Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, you're getting pickled. Amen? Pickled saints. But not with dill. I'm a bread and butter pickle. Or sour cream. I'm a bread and butter pickle, I guarantee you. I like them, bread and butter pickles. Praise God. Well, let's take a proffer tonight. What? I get it. No. Didn't find them anywhere. Went all the way over there to the building. If somebody stole them, they sure got something good. Praise God. Well, if you, I'll tell you what, put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I praise you for that. Blessings upon the people tonight. I thank you, Lord, that as we're pickled and preserved, Lord, you just continue to show us ways, inventive ways, glorious ways, hallelujah ways, to just see finances coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and just blessing these saints. Lord, I thank you that we're the most prosperous church on the face of the earth. We are rich, 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 because we know you. But I thank you, Lord, putting things in our hand in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to tell y'all something funny. You know, we were visiting with the Fraziers when we were going home. And so we were out. We went out to Joseph's and let them go run around and play around all out there in the pasture. And we were headed home. Must have been like six-ish, because it was just getting ready to get his dusk. Just a little bit before dusk, the sky, you know, was just kind of lit up. And we're headed out to my house, and a meteor streaks right down the middle of the road, erupted. Went down and I said, and so everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know this thing. Just, I mean, it was huge. Probably one of the bigger ones I've ever seen. And Bethany just starts laughing. She said, I told Andrew, I think Pastor Roberts is, he's just out there. I mean, there's, He said something about a meteor hitting his yard. There's no way a meteor. I mean, that's just the most outlandish thing I've heard anybody say in my life. And I said, see, it was right there. It missed. It just went over too far. It could have been right there. We could have got it. So we just rolled laughing. But, I mean, this thing was huge. I kept expecting something on the news, somebody say something about it. But, I mean, it went too far over. It missed us. Really?
We thought maybe it stopped Becky for maybe.
It was.
We were sitting down at the end of Bahamas Road, and we watched it go.
It hit the south path.
Seriously? It did? You think it hit there?
Yeah.
Look, brother, look.
I'm within probably a half a mile. I'm going to fly over.
Believe God. Get out there and do the Holy Ghost thing. Say, come on, Holy Ghost, lead me to the place. Wow.
I've never seen one that close, ever.
Yeah.
On the water, here, nowhere.
This thing that I saw was probably the closest one I've ever seen, but I mean, it went over the mountain. You know, it hit somewhere between here and Sabinow.
We know it hit toward between Mothers and the Quarry, somewhere in that backside of the south back of the mountain. Boom, like that.
Did you feel anything or hear anything? Did you actually hear it hit?
No.
Wow.
Well,
let's have a church search party. We'll all get out there shoulder to shoulder and we'll walk through the brush.
Well, we were wondering.
We went and looked, but.
We were wondering Sunday if someone had told you about that.
No.
Meteor Wednesday, because I was like, hey, he's talking about that. So that was the Holy Ghost, brother.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Telling you.
Woo!
And they say money didn't fall.
It would just tickle me. It would just so tickle me. I would, the first person I'd call be Bethany when y'all find that thing and say, looky here, take a picture of it. Looky here. It didn't hit my pasture. It hit one of my friend's pastures right in there. Here it is. See the meteor. We're not crazy. Money cometh. Praise God. Well, that is cool. I want to get back in faith then. That is wild.
It really is.
It's got to be there.
It is. Becky's like, we got to get Bruce to fly over the top. Real slow and a little glider to look for it.
Yeah. If there was like a burn.
Yeah, skid across the ground, knock some trees down.
We went and looked off in the quarry and walked all over the side over there, but I'm pretty positive it landed on this side. Because we went back, set in the truck and looked again because the trees is real hard to see. Because those little hills right there, hard to see where exactly it went right in. It's pretty cool.
Praise God.
Forever.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Praise God. I was prophesying meteor, see? Didn't even realize it. So if you get hit and head by one, don't blame me. Yeah. Well, stand up. Let's pray. Tonight, even though this is February 1st, we're going to have our confession one more time. The January confession, even though it's February 1, because we're going to do the new confession Sunday. So here we go. Y'all ready? The good hand of God is upon me, and I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I cannot be cursed. Though my enemies come against me, I will not fear. Though the problems of life come against me, I will not be discouraged. God is with me. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My God is with me. He is always with me. So, Lord, tonight as we leave this building, I just declare that you're with us. And this anointing tonight that's here, Lord, this ain't going nowhere. It's going to stay on us. And I just pray for blessing people, giving event, dreams and visions and revelations, Lord. And I just declare, Lord, send us some more money from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.